Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro.
Programs, and we're back for another edition of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
Yes, it is a Tuesday, Joey Image in the chat room. We are a day late, but that's okay. You guys waited for us, and that's fine.
We're a day late, but not a dollar short.
Not a dollar short, as they say.
Yeah, so just to let everybody know why we're doing the show a day late, I've mentioned it on the show, but I'm producing a short film that our mutual friend Steve Wise wrote and directed, and we're in the post-production phase, and Steve wanted to get together and kind of go over the footage, you know, for some ideas of what to do for the edit, and Monday was the only day that he, Chad, and I could do, so had to push the show back, but we're still here, so that's a good thing.
So did you get it? What happened gaming-wise for both of us this weekend?
Well, for those that aren't Zelda fans, you might enjoy this a little more.
If you're not a Zelda fan, just fast forward about 10 minutes, I guess.
We both beat the main story of Tears of the Kingdom.
Yes. I was the first one to do it, and I sent a screenshot to Derek. I was like, I finished. I'm done.
I saw it, and after like my initial, because I wasn't expecting it at all, and I'm like, you ain't having a Tears of the Kingdom chat without me finishing it. So so I beat it, I think, Sunday?
I think so.
It might have been Sunday.
It was a day or two after I finished mine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the past week and a half has just been so busy that I haven't really had a chance to play it, so I probably went through the final battle a little sooner than I should have, and it took me several tries, but I managed to pull through.
I kind of did too, so I had to go back to an earlier save on the game because I was so ill-equipped to take on Ganondorf, and I had to go to an earlier save so I could get a bunch of gloom-resistant foods and things like that, because if you don't have and if you've never played the game, there's a stuff that is called gloom, where it's sort of there's this underground area that if you get this stuff on you, it takes away health basically, and it breaks your hearts that are in your life meter. And you have to wear gloom-resistant clothing, gloom-resistant foods in order to counteract that. And in the final battle, every time he touches you, it just, it's just, it's a gloom fest.
Yeah, the first time that I fought Ganondorf, I had none of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the battle started, I'm like, okay, there's no way I'm going to be able to win this. So I did the same thing. I went back to an earlier file and got a little more prepared.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that fight took me about 10 tries to learn, because there's four phases to that fight. And the first phase is not that hard. But it's the second and third phases that are a little ridiculous, and had to go in there. Make sure if you're playing that game, just make sure you go in well prepared into that fight, because it lasts a while.
And funny enough, I found the last phase to be the easiest.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically more or less a almost like a quick time event, almost. Like, there's no real way to die in it unless mm-hmm. you stand in the gloom too much when you land on. Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but phase four is very, and once you get to phase four, it's smooth sailing at that point.
Yeah, we should do, I know we talked about doing a spoiler cast maybe as like a Patreon bonus episode, and I would be totally down for that, because for the most part, like, I loved Tears of the Kingdom. I do have a couple of critiques story wise, but I won't. It would involve spoiling it, so
I think
I won't get into it.
We've both finished the game. I think for this month's Patreon, we should just do the spoiler cast instead of doing a commentary. That way, okay. We can we can get with Wally and come up with some new. We can actually ask the patrons too if you have any ideas for stuff that you want to do commentary tracks for. That'll give us a whole other month to kind of get that nailed down. But for this month, I would very much like to do a spoiler-filled episode for Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you don't have to twist my arm if Zelda's involved.
Yeah, and I had just played Minish Cap before Tears of the Kingdom came out, and then I have a story in tonight's news where two more Zelda classics just landed on the Switch, and I'm like, man, I gotta give Zelda some rest for a bit. I can't just dive into two new Zelda games I've never played before.
Yeah, what's the best way to take a break from playing Zelda? You play more Zelda.
Play more Zelda, yeah. But anything else you want to bring up before we go into the news this evening?
No, I don't think so. No, we've got a lot of news to get into, so should probably dive right in.
All right, let's do it. So tonight's stories were submitted to us by Mr. Armez Jackson and a few more people that I forgot to put in here, so I forgot who sent us these. So if you did, I completely apologize, and I will fix it on the next episode. But the first story tonight comes from, I think this one came to us from I Am the Rampage, but this is from GamesRadar.com. And after 25 years, a modder has finally unlocked the N64 secret Nintendo would never allow. He has managed to complete Banjo-Kazooie's stop-and-swap secret on the original N64 hardware, finally closing the loop on an N64 trick Nintendo never wanted to allow. The 1998 N64 classic Banjo-Kazooie features a number of secret items that were originally intended to unlock further secrets in other games by developer Rare. The devs found that when you pulled a cartridge out of the system, the game would remain in a memory for a few seconds, just long enough for you to plug a different cartridge in to read the data from the previous game. Billed as Stop and Swap, this feature was brought to an end by Nintendo itself, as the company feared the sudden cartridge swap could damage the system and that future N64 revisions might prevent the feature from working at all. The hint that these secrets tantalized Rare fans for years, until a combination of data mining and interviews with the original devs revealed how it was supposed to work. So what do you think, Derek? This is pretty cool to finally do this after all these years.
I can't tell you how many days and hours I spent following this story, because you know, the way you find out in Banjo-Kazooie is if you beat the game 100%, you find out that you'll be able to get items in Banjo-Kazooie and transfer them to its sequel, mm-hmm. Banjo-Tooie. And I remember hearing about this like how this was going to work. And my initial thought was, well, isn't that going to damage the console? And clearly Nintendo thought the same thing. I guess Rare did it without consulting with Nintendo first. But
weren't they already doing this on the Genesis, or were trying to do this on the Genesis at some point?
That I don't remember. They very well could have.
Because I think this is what they were planning to do with Sonic 3 or something like that, where you stacked cartridges on one another.
Well, they did do that with Sonic and Knuckles, where you could plug in Sonic 3 on top of the Sonic and Knuckles cartridge, and you would get the Sonic 3 and Knuckles complete gaming experience.
Yeah.
That's probably what they should have done with Banjo-Tooie, but the way they fixed it was that they included these hidden sentient N64 cartridges that you would have to break open to find the items that you would get in Banjo-Kazooie. Hmm. Now, when they were released for the Xbox 360, you could do the stop and swap. You would just have to have a Banjo-Kazooie save file.
Yeah.
So, I think the technology and what they were trying to do was a little bit ahead of its time. And maybe they didn't want to do the stacking cartridge because Sega did it first. Mm-hmm. But the video in this article is pretty fascinating. I watched it right before we went live. It's really almost kind of brings a gaming experience of mine full circle, because I love these two games so much. And this was one of those big, what if scenarios from gaming history.
It just does seem so counterintuitive to yank out one cartridge and then jam in another one real quick.
Yeah. It sounds insane when you say it now, but I give Rare credit for trying to be a little innovative and trying to do something different and trying to essentially transfer data from one game to another. Did it really work out? No, but the idea I always thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Next up, from NintendoLife.com, we alluded to this a little bit earlier, Nintendo expands Switch Online's Game Boy Color library with two Zelda classics. In a new Switch Online update, Nintendo has added the Game Boy Color classics Legend of Zelda, Oracle of Ages, and Oracle of Seasons. Both of these titles were originally released on the handheld system in 2001. These games can be played individually in any order, but you'll get even more out of this experience if you play both of them and make use of the password system. This is the one instance of the password system that I like.
Yeah.
So you link the two games together and you get what's essentially a final story where the games are kind of linked together and you have to fight the resurrected Ganon. So the stories do coincide in a way, and it's actually done really well. And both games are great.
Yeah.
I'm a little more partial to Seasons, because time travel's been done a lot in Zelda, and that's what happens in Ages. So I like the dynamic of Seasons a little bit better. But you were mentioning earlier, you've never played either of these games.
I've never played these because I was not a mobile gamer. So I had the original Game Boy, and that was it. Until I got a Switch. So I missed all this stuff. So I do want to play these. But like I said, I have to give Zelda a rest for a bit. I just have to.
Yeah, understandable. But I definitely think that you should give these a shot. Like I said, both are really good. And I think you'll enjoy both, because it plays just like Link to the Past and Link's Awakening.
Joey Image in the chat room says, the cool thing about the Game Boy Color was that it was a Game Boy, but, you know, with color. Thanks
it's
for
like
that.
A Game Boy, but, but you know.
Astute observation.
Breaking news here on the Nerd Cave Retro Show. I love that.
This is a new game that just landed on the Switch. If you like the old Disney games, there's a new Disney game that just dropped on the Switch called Disney Illusion Island. And this is a review for it on NintendoLife.com. I'm not going to read the whole review. You can go read it yourself. But I just wanted to drop this in there because this is a really cool side-scrolling platformer on the Switch that has, of course, all the Disney characters in it. And I really think you should go give it a look-see, because this looks really cool And I was really tempted to get this the other day when I saw it on the Switch.
I love the animation style of this game. It looks so, so good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of the like Castle of Illusion and the World of Illusion games that we've talked about in old episodes. And this seems like a spiritual successor. I know it says that it's not part of the classic series, but it definitely reminds me of it. So I'm with you. I'm really tempted to get this.
And it's got a very stylized art style to it. Like, it's not what you would normally see as far as, you know, Mickey Mouse and Donald and Minnie and Goofy. It's like they have a very, I don't even know what to call it. Like, what would you compare this art style to? Like, it's almost like a Genndy Tartakovsky version of the Mickey characters.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what you'd call it. It's similar to an animation style that I feel like Disney has been using for Mickey for a bit now, because I recognize the style. I just don't know what you would call it. But the environments look great. I really, really want to play this. And Pikmin 4 came out too, so I know I want to get it. So I got to decide what I want to play next.
this game, Illusion Island, looks really cool, and I'm very tempted to pick this up.
Next up, also from NintendoLife.com, Double Dragon Advance Super and Collection announced for the Switch. Following the release of Double Dragon Gaiden Rise of the Dragons on the Switch, Arc System Works has now announced Super Double Dragon and Double Dragon Advance for all platforms, including Nintendo's hybrid system. They will both be available as standalone digital purchases, which will be making their way to consoles on November 9th of this year. In addition to this, a Double Dragon collection has also been announced for the Switch. It will be made available physically and digitally in Japan. It will contain Super and Advance, along with the original four games previously released as standalone purchases on the eShop. So the collection will include Super Double Dragon, Double Dragon Advance, Double Dragon 1, 2, 3, and 4. So if you're a Double Dragon fan, you are a happy camper.
I am a Double Dragon fan, and I think this is going to be a purchase for me.
I feel like you got to get this.
Oh, yeah.
Just looking at
the screenshots, I'm like, I have to get this.
It just makes me think of the wizard.
And this next story is from MyNintendoNews.com. Red Dead Redemption Remaster seemingly coming to Nintendo Switch. Rockstar Games seems to be plowing on ahead for a remaster of the beloved Red Dead Redemption, which made its debut back in 2010 on the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. A new remaster has yet to be announced by Rockstar, but it is seemingly in the works. Today, a Twitter data miner discovered a new logo for the remaster, along with placeholders for a Nintendo Switch version. PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 version are also listed, as they are the original consoles. Not clear whether the remaster will come to the Switch or whether it will be a simpler port of the original Red Dead Redemption game. Really depends on how much work is going into the remaster. I know this is just a rumor, but I really loved the original Red Dead Redemption, and I would play through it again in a heartbeat. 2 did not capture me. I probably put 20 to 30 hours into it before I dropped off. It just didn't capture me like the first one did. And then with the Red Dead Undead expansion, was just a whole nother game right there with that expansion. So if they brought this to the Switch, I'm playing through Red Dead Redemption again. That game is just one of the best games that's of this century so far.
Yeah, I was about to say Red Dead Redemption is one of the best games of the modern era. And if you said that Red Dead Redemption was Rockstar's best game, I wouldn't really argue it. I mean, I think it's in their top three.
I mean, people would probably argue, you know, what's that? Grand Theft Auto 5, because they've already put out like 12 different versions of it, and they're still putting out versions of it. But I've never really been a Grand Theft Auto fan, but Red Dead Redemption was just so good.
Yeah,
from start to finish.
I love Red Dead Redemption. I'm right there with you. If it is re-released for the Switch, I will get it and play through it again.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And finally, from RetroDodo.com, the NES classic DuckTales has been ported to the Super Nintendo. Then we'll touch Double Dragon Neon, though. Rampage in the chat. The classic retro video game DuckTales for the NES has been ported over to the SNES by a skilled ROM hacker. The particular ROM hacker in question is one that should be familiar to Retro Dodo readers. It is our friend Infidelity NES, who brought us the amazing Super Mario Bros. 3 Plus project. And it would seem that he is back at it again, this time bringing over a classic NES game to the SNES console, which means lots of room for awesome quality of life improvements and technical enhancements. And you can see some of the differences. There's a side-by-side comparison. The graphics don't look extremely different, but man, if they had ported this to the Super Nintendo, it would have been a way bigger game than it was, and it's still really popular. Like, it's still one of the best NES games ever made.
I don't know why they never did, because this was one of the best games that Capcom put out for the regular Nintendo. And then I think if they would have just did a remaster of this for the Super Nintendo when it came out, it would have sold just as many, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
And the graphics are already great for the just for the Nintendo. If they would have put this on the Super Nintendo and just made it sharper, you know, better backgrounds, things like that, I mean, I could just, oh, I would play that right now.
Yeah, I would have bought that in a heartbeat had it been out for the Super Nintendo.
But yeah, this is cool. I would have, if they... They just need to do DuckTales everything. They just need to remaster this game like once a year for the rest of my life for everything. And I would just keep buying it over and over again.
Did you ever play the remastered version for the 360?
No, I never did, because it came out like towards the end of the 360 when I didn't have the 360 anymore because I had given it to my nephew.
It was pretty cool. The animation style looked just like the cartoon.
I know. I wanted it, but I just couldn't get it.
Yeah, it was really good. I really like DuckTales. I just like that universe.
Oh yeah,
and that game is really good too.
Still the best music on the Nintendo. Some of the best music on the original NES.
Oh, 100%.
And that brings us to this month in video game history. On August 12th of 1981, the IBM Personal Computer is released for $1,565 with 16K RAM, no disk drives, and a four color CGA graphics.
We've come a long way in technology.
Dude, $1,565 in 1981 has got to be like 10 grand today.
Let's see.
I would say at least $5,000.
You're probably right.
If you could pull up
inflation calculator. Da, 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 da. Let's see. $1,565. I feel like everybody I knew either had an Apple Macintosh or an IBM computer. Let's see. This would have been what, 1981?
Yep. August.
1981, I purchased an item for $1,565. And in 2023, $5,252.98.
Can you imagine dropping $5,000 on a computer right now?
I just like to have $5,000.
Yeah, no kidding.
In August of 1982, Coleco launches ColecoVision in North America, the first console with versions of Donkey Kong and Sega's isometric Zaxxon. ColecoVision's such a fun word to say.
It is.
Have you ever rolls played off the one? Tongue.
I've never played.
I have not.
I've never played a ColecoVision. I didn't even know anybody that had one when I was a kid.
Makes me think of Smell-O-Vision.
Yeah. I mean, I know a couple of people that had the Intellivision when I was a kid, but nobody had a ColecoVision.
I mean, I'd love to try one day.
I mean, if I ever came across one in the wild, like at a flea market, I would definitely pick it up, but that's just something you never come across anymore.
Mm-mm.
Let's see, August 26th of 1989, Nintendo releases the Zelda Game & Watch. I ran across the new one in Walmart a couple of weeks ago, and I almost bought it. Like, I was so tempted.
Eventually, I will get one, because this is one of the few Zelda games that I've never played. So I'd be interested to try it out, and just to have it, you know, for a collection.
And Joey in the chat room says he still has his ColecoVision. I'm sure you do. Joey's closet is like a Santa's sack. Like, you just reaches in there. You can pull out any gaming console from any generation.
That should be like something he does on his YouTube channel. Like, invite a friend over once a week, and he just pulls a random thing out of his closet. Talks about it for half an hour.
That would make a great video. Joey, why are you not doing that right now? That is a great idea.
I will fly up to Jersey. We should fly up to Jersey and be his first guest.
That sounds good to me.
And then finally, August 2nd of 1995, Sega releases Comic Zone for the Genesis in North America, which is a beat-em-up game heavily inspired by comic books.
That was a hard game, man. I loved it. It's a great game, but you only get one life. You got to finish the game on one life.
Yeah, that was a bit much, but I like the idea of the game. I like the look of it, but the one life thing is that's tough.
It's too much. But before we go into our Patreon shoutouts, I do have I missed a top five last week from Mr. Josh Hartman. And I wanted to rectify that. And I missed one from Wally last month, but then I looked through and I couldn't find it. And I told him to resend it. I never found it again. So I apologize to Wally for that, but I will make this one right. It's from Mr. Josh Hartman. And of course, last week was it was our top five best games based on movies. And he says, this is hard because a lot of them, five. Street Fighter, the movie, the game. He says it's awful, but I love to own it. Let's see. Five, Batman Returns for the Super Nintendo. I don't like the movie, but I love that beat 'em up. Oh, man, you don't like the movie? What's wrong, man? Did Batman hurt you? Tell us how Batman hurt you. Number four, Minority Report for the Xbox. Very underrated. I don't remember that even being a game.
Now that you mention it, I do vaguely remember it, but I never played it.
I didn't either. Three, Star Wars, the arcade machine. Good pull. Yep. Two, X-Men Origins Wolverine for the 360, because that's how you make a Wolverine game, darn it. And I totally agreed. And obviously, number one is Spider-Man 2 for the Xbox. I spent way too long just web-slinging in that game, but that's amazing and still fun to play today.
I like the Spider-Man pun he used.
Yep. So, Josh, there you go. I rectified missing your top five list. I won't do it again, I promise. But before we go into the review tonight, which I'm ready to destroy this game, Derek, would you like to do our shout-out?
Yes. As always, we'd like to shout-out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout-out our newest patron, James, a.k.a. Jimbo Jr. on Discord. Travis Martin, Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mr. B. Rez Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, Tyler Watson, Axeblade07, Armez Jackson, Carlos Longoria, a.k.a. I am the
Rampage,
Staff Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, and of course, Mama Diamond herself, Donna Diamond. Thank you all so much for your continued contributions and keeping the lights on for us here at the show. For just as little as $1 a month, you get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows, and you get early access to our fun commentary tracks, or in this case, bonus episode. We're going to be doing a spoiler-filled episode of Tears of the Kingdom for the month of August. We will be putting up a poll for the September commentary track. So I believe it's if you're $3 and above, you get to vote in the polls.
Oh, and Joey,
and I did want
to... Joey, we have to add Joey back into the shout-outs because he's back on Patreon as of today. So you're back in the shout-outs, okay. My friend.
Shout-out to Mr. Joey Image, who's also in the chat. So I wanted to say this about the Patreon polls. You know, there are a few constants in life. You know, the sun rises, the sun sets, and any poll that I post ends in a three-way tie.
Are you guys doing that on purpose?
I would love to know. Like, if so, I appreciate the troll job. From one troll to another, I respect it.
But hey, at least you got three reviews lined up.
Yep. So for next week, I'm going to be reviewing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Fall of the Foot Clan which was originally released for the Game Boy as part of the Cowabunga collection. Thanks to you, the Patreon subscribers. So if you want to be a part of our awesome Patreon community, just head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for new patrons, be sure to send us your social media info, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or X, whatever it's called today, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout out.
Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at brezcoffeeco.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself, or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath Roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
And tonight, we're going to be talking about... Even the music's annoying.
I hate it. I hate it. I really do.
All right, that's enough of that. We're talking tonight about Bubsy and Claw's Encounters of the Furred Kind. And the only reason I wanted to do this game is because, of course, last month our top five was top five failed gaming mascots. And Bubsy was always at the top of that list because he is, and I even put it in my notes for this game, that Bubsy is... let's see, where did I put it? But he is the top tier of 90s failed mascots. And I guess this game did well enough to warrant a sequel, but Bubsy needs to stay firmly in the 90s where he belongs. So please, no reboots of Bubsy, please.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You know, there are certain characters that, like, I understand the appeal. Like, yeah, I'm going to be biased, but like Sonic, mm-hmm. You have a successful game, and then that spawned off a comic book series, multiple animated series. Bubsy got that. I believe there was a Bubsy cartoon series.
Yeah.
And there was a sequel. And I don't understand why. Like, I didn't end up playing any of the actual game, but I did watch some gameplay, and I gotta be honest, within about 10 seconds of being on screen, I just picture Bubsy as this insufferable douchebag that I want nothing to do with.
Well, just to tell you a little bit about the game, it says is often shortened Bubsy Inn. The entire title of the game is Bubsy Inn, : Claws Encounters of the Furred Kind, often shortened to just Bubsy. It is a platform game first released for the Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo by Accolade in 1993. It is the first entry into the Bubsy series of video games. The game's title is a play on words in reference to the film Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Thank you for that. With the game revolving around Bubsy defending the planet's supply of yarn balls from alien invaders. It was ported to Windows in 1995 under the title Super Bubsy. A sequel, Bubsy 2, was released in 1994, and how this game got a sequel is so far beyond me. I don't even know what to say about that. But basically, the first thing you're going to notice if you play this game, it is a Sonic clone. It's basically the same sort of gameplay as Sonic, but not as good, because I kept wanting this game to be fast like Sonic, but everything in this game is designed to slow you down, and you can never get any momentum because everything's designed to slow you down and, dare I say it, one-hit kills. Enough said. One-hit kills in the game.
I'm surprised that you can't collect like a ring substitute.
Yeah, because at least with Sonic, you get hit and you lose all your rings. But with Bubsy, I mean, you collect yarn balls, but it's not like you get hit and you lose all your yarn balls. You just freaking die. That you start over at the beginning of the level. That's it. And it took me, you know, at about 30 minutes of playing it before I realized that you could float, sort of almost fly. At certain, when you're going kind of fast and you can, you know, jump up in the air and you can sort of float down to the ground instead of just, you know, falling and dying as soon as you hit the ground. So that helped a lot, but still not enough to make me actually want to play the game past the third level.
So what you're basically saying is it took the Sonic formula, but everything that was successful about it, they just removed it.
Pretty much, yeah. That's pretty much the gist of it.
I guess my thing is, minus Bubsy seeming like a obnoxious jerk, I'm trying not to use bad language here, but it seems like your typical platformer, but not nearly as fun. Like, games like this were a dime a dozen. Well, around this time, and like you're not gonna make a platformer as good as Mario,
and that's the thing. Like, this game is designed to be sort of like a Sonic clone, but and your only method of attack is to jump on something, much like Sonic does or Mario does. But it seems like every time I tried to jump on something, I would hit it in a way to where it would kill me. Like you have to be like pixel perfect when you're jumping on enemies to get past them, and it drove me nuts.
Yeah, that kind of makes me think of the remastered Crash Bandicoot games, where if you don't land on an enemy just right, then you're toast.
And Joey in the chat room said, let's get a mashup game, Bubsy versus Booger Man. Like, don't do that to Booger Man. I actually enjoyed Booger Man. Bubsy, not so much.
I can't remember what it was called, but there was a series on YouTube where they would take popular characters and have them fight each other. Like, they had Batman versus Darth Vader for one.
Oh, yeah.
They should do a Bubsy versus Booger Man.
Or they
just
do,
have them both lose.
Or Bubsy versus Sonic, and just have Sonic just completely destroy Bubsy into just explode him into, you know, fur and guts all over the place,
and just little remnants of whatever yarn balls he's collected.
And I didn't write too many notes on that. I mean, I'm pretty much already given all my notes except for the humor of the game is definitely not my cup of tea. It's so 90s and quote unquote edgy, but not edgy at all. Just annoying.
Like everything in the 90s had to be.
And that's the thing. Like I went into this game with a perspective, like, would I have enjoyed this game at the time in 1993? And I don't think I would have if I played this game. I think this game is more aimed squarely at, like, I would say 8 to 11 years old, 11-year-olds.
I'm doing math in my head of how old I would have been at that time. No, that would have been, I would have, see, 93, I would have been 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. So I may have enjoyed it, but I don't think this would have been a game that would have stuck with me.
Yeah.
You know, because I played quite a few Super Nintendo games between, like, RPGs and different platformers. I'm a little surprised that I didn't give this a shot, because it seems like a game on the surface that I would have liked. But in going back and watching gameplay, I don't have any desire to actually try it, because it looks like nothing special that I wouldn't have played in the 90s.
Yeah, because I was, 1993? I was 16 years old at the time. I was already moving on to, I had gotten my first computer that summer between 10th grade and 11th grade. So I was roughly 16, 17 years old when I got my first computer. And then I was on to PC gaming at that point. I was already kind of not really playing many video games at this time. I mean, I had gotten my Super Nintendo in 91 when it first came out. Was playing it, you know, this is 2 years later. I was kind of maybe not playing it as much anymore. And it's just, this is the type of game that just did not speak to me at all, especially at that time. Like, I remember, you know, I remember the advertisements for us. The advertisements for this game were everywhere. They were trying so hard to make Bubsy a thing. And I don't know, I just kind of rebelled against it. Like, I'm not playing that game. I'm just not going to do it.
I would love to know what kind of money they put into the marketing budget.
At the time, I mean, it had to be millions.
Well, and I remember, I can't recall seeing any commercials on TV, but I remember ads in Electronic Gaming Monthly and Nintendo Power.
And comic books. I was heavily into comic books at the time. And I could probably go downstairs right now and look through all my old comic books from 1993, and almost every single one of them had at least one Bubsy advertisement in it.
You think they advertised it so much that people just kind of got sick of it?
Probably. I mean, it just feels so forced, you know, like Sonic and especially Mario. Like, Mario kind of happened organically. I mean, even, you know, and Sonic was meant to, I don't even think they originally meant for Sonic to even be a mascot. It's like they made him, and then they realized after they, you know, they were making the game, they were like, I think we have something here. I feel like Bubsy from the get-go was like, we have to make a mascot character. And then, you know, it's comic books and cartoons and toys and movies and blah, blah, blah. We're going to do all this stuff. And it's a mediocre, not even really mediocre game, like less than mediocre.
Yeah, this would have been the kid that got held back a year.
Yeah.
In class. The thing, and I think the reason why, or one of the reasons why Mario and Sonic were so successful, with Mario, we had never really seen anything like that before. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Sonic, where Sonic was almost the anti-Mario. You still had the platforming aspect, but in a different style. And that's why it worked. And that, and I think the way that their personalities were portrayed through comics, because there were some Mario comics as well. Not to the level of Sonic, but you got enough. And the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. So you got to see their personalities. And that's why those two characters have had such staying power.
Yeah.
And I don't think Bubsy had that. And you had a lot of companies that were trying to recreate that magic, but you couldn't, because it's almost like, I'm going to set out to write the greatest book ever written. Well, what qualifies it as that? Like, I'm not going in with the mentality of, I'm going to write the greatest book ever written.
Yeah.
I'm going to write a book that I feel passionate about.
The first thing happens
kind of organically.
Yeah, the first thing you need to do is make a game that doesn't suck. You know, make a
good game
with a good character, and just let, if it happens, you know, if he becomes a mascot, great. But don't make a character with the intention of becoming this huge thing and then rip off a better game and make a worse game out of it. Like, if you're going to copy Sonic the Hedgehog, you better make a better game than Sonic the Hedgehog, because if you're used to playing Sonic and then you play this game, it's going to aggravate you, because everything in this game is designed to kill your momentum instead of feeling that sense of speed that you get with Sonic.
It's the anti-Sonic.
It is really what it is. Yes.
And I mean, there's a moment in watching the gameplay that really sold me as, okay, I really have no desire to play this game. And it goes back to the personality thing. So you know how at the beginning of the game, you're going through like a tutorial and showing you like what to do and what buttons to press and whatnot. Whenever you're doing that, you see like words pop up on the screen that says, oh, press up and down to look up and down. Mm. And Bubsy like almost looks at you breaking the fourth wall and has just the most smug look on his face. And I'm like, I don't like you.
Yeah.
I want to introduce your face to the back of my hand.
Yeah. It says in here, for reception for the game, pre-release anticipation for the game was very high, with the game receiving aggressive marketing regarding the game as the next Sonic the Hedgehog or Super Mario. Bubsy himself even won Electronic Gaming Monthly's Most Hype for a Character of 1993. Andy Eddy highly praised the game's nonlinear level designs in video games and computer entertainment, but criticized that Bubsy suffers from uncontrollable momentum. He also complained that the backgrounds often don't move enough to give the player a frame of reference when taking big leaps, and concluded Bubsy's flaws don't kill it, because there's loads of fun in there, but they do bring it down a notch or two. Maybe that was another thing, problem when I was playing it, is I just felt so out of control when I was trying to play. There's no sense of, even when you're playing Sonic, you still feel like you're in control. Like, you can make those stops on a dime. You can, you know, you can do jumps while you're, you know, in the ball mode. All that kind of stuff that makes Sonic what it is. With Bubsy, you just feel like once he gets going, you're just waiting for the whatever the next obstacle is to pop up and kill your momentum and kill you, basically.
It's, I really don't know what else to say about this game, except like I get it winning the most hype award. Like, that makes sense, but
it says anticipation for the game was very high. I don't know if the anticipation was high, but it was definitely aggressive marketing. I don't know if anybody was like, oh, I can't wait for this game to come out.
But look at the scores. Like, EGM gave it an 8 out of 10. SNES Force gave it a 70. Mean Machines an 80. Let's see. Sega Pro 81. Maybe they didn't know better.
Maybe at the time it was acceptable. Because, I mean, this, it looks like the average score here was basically about a 7 out of 10. The average. So that's still a C. C grade. So that's still not, you know, Mario numbers or Sonic numbers. That's still not great. I mean, it's a serviceable number for a game. Like, it, you know, it's playable. It's enjoyable, but is it something that's going to be around for years? I don't think so. And time has told
no.
that it, no, he yeah. was not.
So I got to ask, what's your number score?
I mean, I hate to give anything. At least most mediocre games get a 5. But I got to give it like a 4. I mean, it's... Because the thing is I played it last weekend. And I gave it a good hour and a half of playing it. Just to kind of get a feel for it. And then I was trying... I fired it up again this last weekend. Just to get, you know, a little further or play it some more. Maybe... You know, give it another chance or anything. And I couldn't do it. I just couldn't even, I had no, absolutely zero desire to go back and play it again for a second time.
I'm surprised you gave it that high of a grade. I was expecting you to give it a 3.
I mean, it's not as bad as Fester's Quest. Maybe, I don't know, but I don't know, it gets a 4. It's not unplayable, it's just
not good.
Like, if you're curious about it, I would say yes, give it a try, but this is not something I would recommend at all. Like, if I ran across this at a flea market for like 10 cents, I still wouldn't pick it up. Like, I would just not. It doesn't belong.
They should have to pay you to take the game off their hands.
Yeah, this does not belong in a collection. Like, unless you're a completionist and you just really want to have the whole Super Nintendo library. Other than that, it's not worth the pickup.
So it looks best when you pass it on the shelf.
Pretty much, yeah.
But I respect that.
I hope to God they don't try to bring Bubsy back like in some sort of weird remaster or reboot. Like, let's just leave Bubsy back where in 1995 where he belongs.
I just hope that next week our lead story isn't Bubsy coming back for a reboot.
If it does,
we can never say anything bad about anything.
I mean, how
else
do we use that power to our advantage, though? We have to.
Yeah, we got to figure out a way to harness it.
Yeah. Because I swear, if they come out with an announcement for Bubsy next week, we have serious, like, psychic powers, and we have to harness it for good.
That sounds like a great short film idea, too.
Okay, Rampage says the last Bubsy game was out in 2019. Let me... Bubsy.
I didn't know that.
20.
Let's see. Bubsy, Bubsy, Bubsy.
Boah, it was. Bubsy Paws on Fire.
Yeah.
Released for the PlayStation 4, Windows, and Nintendo Switch.
In the Switch.
Oof. I just can't bring myself to even... care enough to even go look at gameplay of this.
Okay, I have to see this story. Bubsy and his friends are celebrating the 14th annual Yarn Ball when the Woolies twin queens Polly and Esther.
That's
warn him about the return of the corrupt entrepreneur Oinker P. Ham.
Okay.
Who is capturing animals across the universe for his own personal zoo, the Amazootorium.
Just stop. Just stop. This is...
And he has a sidekick named Arnold.
I'm not...
Of all the normal names, you choose his sidekick to have just Arnold.
And don't any of you out there dare buy this for me, because I'm not playing it. I'm not going to do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I will put it back in the mail and return to sender.
Along with something else that I probably wouldn't like.
I'll put some cat poop in there and be like, Bubsy did it.
Okay, I won't do it then.
So don't,
you tempted me, but
don't
I won't
look
do it.
For me to do the Bubsy sequel either, because I'm not gonna even try that sequel unless you.
I'm already gonna say I'm not gonna do it
unless you want to do it. That's fine, but I'm not playing part two. I'm just not gonna.
The only way I would do it is if I lost a bet, and I'm not gonna make a bet where that's a stipulation.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen. So, if you're Bubsy fans out there, I'm sorry I crapped all over your game, but. This was bad. It was not good.
Real bad.
Real bad. But, Derek, that brings us to the end of this rant-filled review of Bubsy and Claw's Encounters of the Furred Kind, which is the longest game name in history. So, yeah.
It's got to be up there. But we'll have a much better review next week, because we'll be talking about Ninja Turtles.
Yes, so tell everybody what you're doing next week.
Yep, next week I'm going to be reviewing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Fall of the Foot Clan.
Yes.
If you have the Cowabunga collection, it is part of that. It was originally released for the Game Boy, so yeah, figured it'd be a good week to talk some Ninja Turtles.
Speaking of Ninja Turtles, before we move on, have you seen the new Ninja Turtles toys in Walmart?
I have not.
They're so cool. I want every single one of them.
I want to see the movie so badly. Like, I hope to go tomorrow, but I've heard nothing but really good things about it.
And they're affordable, too. Like, just the action figures, like the turtles, the single turtles, are like $10. And then they have these dual, where you could get, like, I think it's Donatello, you know, each turtle with another, villain figure. So you get two,
okay.
And it's like $20. I'm like, I have to get all these. I want every single one of these.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to look into that, because like, I love the way the characters look. I love the animation style. I can't wait to see the movie.
Yeah, Mushmouth in the chat room. What's up? He says, that movie looks dope. Yes, it does, and I want to go see it ASAP.
Same.
But that brings us to the end of the episode. So what you got going on with the Derek Diamond Experience?
So if you're a fan of games, which I'm assuming if you're listening to this podcast, you are, you should check out this week's Derek Diamond Experience, because I interviewed Miss Jen Taylor, AKA the voice of Cortana from Halo.
That's so cool.
And we, what was cool about it is that she is a legitimate fan of the series. Like, we talk about the lore of Halo in the interview, which is something I never expected to talk about with the voice of Cortana, but it was a really fun episode. I hate that she couldn't talk about the series because of the SAG strike.
Yeah.
Cause I wanted to get into some of the criticisms of it, but it was still a really fun interview. So you can check that out on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/ddiamondpodcast. You can head over to linktree.com/ddiamondpodcast to subscribe to the audio version, or to follow me on social media. And much like this show, if you could, please leave a review, because they really do help. The more reviews that my show gets, that this show gets, that Open Micers gets, the more visible it is for those that are searching for podcasts of its genre. So it just takes a minute, and it doesn't cost anything. So if you could do that, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, I would very much appreciate it.
Yeah, and go check out the Open Micers podcast at Open Micers on Twitter and Instagram. We've had so many good guests over the last couple of weeks. I mean, we've had Dave Stone on the show. I can't even think of everybody. Just go check it out. We've had so many good comedians on the last couple of weeks. It's insane. We've had so many good guests. So just, there's plenty of content over there if you're looking for something funny to listen to. Just go check out the Open Micers podcast at Open Micers Twitter and Instagram. So Derek, I think that's it. Is that everything?
I believe so.
Let's walk out the door. If you want to email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Nerdcaveretro.com is our link tree, and that includes our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Patreon, our Discord, and our merch shop, which you can get to by going straight to ncrmerch.com. Over there, we got t-shirts, we got hats, we got stickers, magnets, bags, mugs, whatever your nerdy little heart desires. Follow us on social media at NerdCaveRetro, at JPunkTastic, and at Derek_Diamond. And of course, please leave us a review and or a 5-star rating on all podcasting platforms. It only takes a couple seconds, and it puts us in front of a bigger audience. So thank you guys for doing that. And that's about it. So Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
May the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.
Yes.
A fellow checker, eh?
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.